I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have spent any time in this diocese in the last 20 years, then you probably have a favorite Bishop Curry moment. Our beloved former bishop, who's now the presiding bishop, he has a way of making memorable statements. He's the king of the catchphrase. And I know for most of you, your favorite moment might be the moment in confirmation when he would put his hands on the head of the confirmand and say, "Daily increase in the Holy Spirit, more and more." They did not do that at the early service. He also was known to say, "If you're breathing, God's calling you." And recently he coined the phrase, "If it's not about love, it is not about God." But my favorite Bishop Curry-ism is the blessing that he used to pray after every celebration of the Eucharist. So he had this memorized, and I'm not going to do it justice. I don't have the Bishop Curry ethos, but here goes. "Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit remain with you always." That's my favorite Bishop Curry-ism, and that blessing happens to come in part from our Romans reading today. And I can't not hear his voice when I read the whole Romans passage. There is so much wisdom in that passage that I couldn't ignore it. I couldn't put this lesson down. So I was all prepared to preach a sermon on this, and I started to read commentaries this past week. A lot of them said, this is not a really great passage of scripture to preach. So these scholars all said, there's just simply too much here. This passage is similar to other passages of scripture in the Bible called wisdom literature, where each phrase or each sentence has a different little nugget of truth that's actually quite deep, and it takes some time to unpack each little phrase. So there's just way too much here to possibly fit into one sermon. And so the books I read suggested, you know, use this for a retreat or like vestry meditations for a whole year or, you know, Bible study over several weeks. And really, that's not what I want to do with it. I want to memorize it like Bishop Curry. I want to meditate on every word of this passage, and I want it to be a part of my life all the time. I want to put it somewhere in my house, a note on the fridge or in the car, so that I can see it every day. I feel like I can learn. I feel like we all can learn a lot from this passage. So today we're going to see what we can learn from Romans and what Paul has to say to us about love and goodness and overcoming evil. But first, a little bit of context. So this is a letter, and it's a letter not to an individual, it's a letter to a church. And Paul is actually writing to a church that he's never visited. He never went to the church in Rome. He was not a part of building that community as he was for other churches. And so the Roman Christians are not his, per se. But he recognizes them as a group that's very influential, and so he wants to offer them some real solid teaching. His words are less personal pastoral, and they're more instructive. He wants to provide a voice of leadership for these new Christians that has some theological oomph, some weight to it. He's wanting to guide them as new followers of Jesus Christ. And so his advice for them today is about living in community. He's writing about agape, which is love that expresses complete vulnerability and complete commitment. "Let your love be genuine," Paul begins. "Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." So this is a teaching for all of us in the church. It's especially true that we are instructed to love one another. So take a second, just kind of look around the room at who is here today. Look at all of these people in our church. You might see some faces of people that you know pretty well, people you've known for years. You might see the faces of some strangers. You might look around and you see a few people that you know you disagree with. We're called to love one another. Truly, deeply love one another. Not just be like Facebook friends or see each other in the carpool line and say hi. We're called to love authentically within the church. This is the plainest, most basic teaching of this passage. And loving one another, loving especially people who are difficult to love, that's how we learn about goodness. So in this passage, Paul is writing about all the ways that this happens. We experience God's goodness when we work hard to outdo one another in showing honor. Whenever we don't claim to be wiser than we are. Whenever we live peaceably with all people, those are images of the kingdom of God. Those are images of God's goodness. And so genuine love isn't just being nice to people in church. It's about loving a person so that you might get to see a little bit of God's goodness in them, and they get to see a little bit of God's goodness in you. We get to be transmitters of God's goodness when we love each other in church community. And I guess my reaction to that instruction is to pinch my nose a little bit like this and go, because that is really hard to do. Loving one another is so great when it works, but a lot of the time it doesn't. I'm feeling a little restless with this instruction. It's incredibly hard to love people time and time again. And it's even harder to do the next thing that Paul introduces, which is to love your enemies. And then he doesn't stop there. He continues to say that we need to love in such a way that we overcome evil in the world with good. Evil. That is a big word. And I think we can all agree that there is evil present in our world, but the problem comes with zeroing in on how to respond when we see it, how to know what to say, what to do to overcome evil. And we all define it in lots of different ways. We have a lot of complicated images of evil, even like degrees of evil. Floating around in my head is the picture, I don't know if y'all saw this on social media, there was a picture someone took of a nursing home in Texas this past week that was flooded with the hurricane. This picture is of several elderly people sitting in their nursing home, still in their wheelchairs, with water up to their waists. It's a horrifying picture. And that's evil. And I think that that's what the theologians would call natural evil, the kind of evil that strikes at random, can affect innocent people. It's not the result of individual action or individual sin. It just is in the world. And then we've got this image floating around in our heads of that march in Charlottesville and seeing these images of white supremacists spewing hate and venom toward people of color. And that is evil that is the result of individual action, individual sin. And that's evil that's violent and scary. And then there's another layer of evil, the kind of under-the-radar system of evil that's present in institutions, in systems, particularly systemic racism, systemic poverty that affects our children and our schools and our institutions. And then finally, there's the evil that is so close to home, the evil that comes up in ourselves. Whatever it is in all of us that hears this list of all these things I just said, and it just says, that's not my problem. So much evil in the world. How do we respond? What do we do to that? I feel so incredibly overwhelmed. And I don't know about you, but I feel really limited with the instruction from Paul to just simply let love be genuine. I need something more than that. I need some practical advice on how to overcome evil with good. So let's turn to a different kind of hope, a different beacon of hope, if you will. I was reading an article this past week about Waffle House. I'm curious, who here has eaten at a Waffle House recently? Don't be shy. There was only one person, Tom Everhart, at the first service. So I was there yesterday. I was researching for the sermon. You're welcome. And it has not changed that much in 30 years. Waffle House is just such a, you know, it's not health food, but it is marvelous. It's just wonderful. And I remember how Waffle House was always there for me when I was younger, going through high school and college. It was always open, always had wonderful, delicious food when I was in the middle of late night exams and long car trips. My order is the pecan waffle with hash browns, scattered, smothered, and covered. It's so good. So, Waffle House is open 24 hours, right? Like, that's their thing that they put out there about themselves. And they gained the reputation recently that they will stay open no matter what, no matter how bad weather gets. And so in the South, they've become a measure for how bad storms and hurricanes are. If the Waffle House has to close, then that means it's really bad. And this article was about the Waffle Houses in Houston and how they were dealing with Hurricane Harvey and how they were going to manage a crisis like this, how they were going to deal with that kind of evil. And the title of the article gave the most practical advice for overcoming evil with good, and it happens to be the Waffle House motto: keep it simple and stay open. Keep it simple, stay open. That's how we deal with evil. That's how Christians figure out how to love impossible people and overcome evil with goodness. So we have two things to do. First, keep it simple. We get so bogged down with thinking that we have to do everything. We have to be everything to everyone. We get so overwhelmed when we think of that laundry list of evil happening in the world, all this work that there is to do. And guess what? It's not all up to us. All of this is in God's hands. We don't have to solve the problem of evil. That is God's job. God is working even at this very moment to heal the world. And so all we have to do is play our small part. Keep it simple. Find one person to reach out in crisis, in pain. Find one small act of kindness that you can do. Find one person in your life that you need to forgive. Keep it simple. At Waffle House, when they are dealing with a storm and a power outage, they don't try to cook their full menu. They pare it down. They cook bacon and eggs, just the basics, and they don't stop cooking. They know that hungry people are going to be at their doors, and they know that they don't want to get tapped out. They don't want to try to cook everything, so they don't try to be everything to everyone. And so we too, in our overcoming of evil, we must keep our efforts simple and focused, because we have a role to play and we can't get tapped out or overwhelmed. And if we do, then we need to remind ourselves that ultimately this is all in God's hands. So the second thing, always stay open. Whether rain or hail or snow or flood, the Waffle House will always be open. And in fact, only two of the Waffle Houses in Houston had to close last week. Two out of dozens that are in that city. And those were the ones that were in the most extreme situations of flooding. So we too have to always stay open. We have to work to keep our hearts open to God's goodness in the world when all we see around us is evil. We have to stay open to the possibility that there might be more going on than we can see or know about. We have to stay open to God's love and God's providence. So whether we face rain or hail or white supremacy or racism, we stay open. We open our lives and our hearts to the work that God is doing. We refuse to become cynical and jaded. We offer ourselves as willing participants in God's holy work, and we don't give up because we still have to love and forgive difficult people. We still have to witness tragedy and destruction that we can't make sense of. And so in the name of God, we always stay open. Paul's instruction in Romans is a sign of hope in a broken world. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Those are words of hope. And y'all, the world needs to see some hope right now. We Christians are pretty lucky in that we believe that God's goodness is everywhere in the world, that we can see God's goodness in nature, in our families, in our friends, in love of others. And the rest of the world doesn't see that all the time. And so we need to offer that. We need to show the world what God's goodness looks like. And so we do that by loving each other as a church. Christians don't always do this very well. We need to get better at loving each other because there's a lot of ugliness outside these walls that needs to be overcome. So let's start right now, here at St. Paul's. Let's start by loving each other, the people in the pews around you, this community right here, right now. Let's extend the love of Jesus Christ to one another. And not in some trite, superficial sort of way, but in the sort of way of brothers and sisters who are called to live the same life, who are called by the same story together. Let's keep it simple and stay open. Let's rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, extend hospitality to strangers. Because in so doing, we will make the audacious claim that goodness, not evil, gets the last word. Amen.